You're saying a little bit?
It's great to see so many of you here. Thank you all for coming. I'm especially happy to have some of my family here today. I want to thank my mom and my husband for being here, Martha and Jamie. My daughters couldn't be here. My family are my biggest supporters, but my daughters have commitments. My oldest daughter is in her middle school classroom back in Bryant teaching English today. My youngest daughter, Caitlin, is in the middle of a year and a half commitment to India on a mission trip. Poor thing, she has to hear about this electronically. And my middle daughter, Lauren, is on an adventure all her own. She has joined the Air Force Reserve and will be heading to San Antonio next week for her graduation. Now, she doesn't even know about this. So when I see her, I don't know if we'll get a phone call before next week, but she knows nothing of this. But my family have always been my biggest supporters. And I also want to introduce my son-in-law, Tim, who's with us today, and I'm glad he could come. He's subbing for the daughter. And the lovely young lady to my left, I think she's the substitute daughter sometimes, is Sarah Cook Giamo. And I've known Sarah since she moved here from Kentucky a few years ago, and she plays my surrogate child from time to time. 35 years ago, I felt a call. I felt a call to participate. It was a call to stand up and fight to change Arkansas. I felt the call to change Arkansas politics when Republicans in the Delta were fighting just to hold a primary in a public building. Where elections ended in May with the Democratic primary, where election law was often disregarded. We had a one-party system, and I felt the call to change that. And we have. We have elected people at the county level and state level in positions not held by Republicans since Reconstruction. We also won legislative majorities for the first time since Reconstruction. We control through majorities, even if small, both ends of this state capitol. For the first time since Reconstruction, it has been an honor to be a part of that work that improves government for the people of Arkansas. As a teacher of government, I find it especially rewarding. We have changed Arkansas. Ladies and gentlemen, my friends and family, my valued colleagues, my name is Ann Clemmer, and today I answer another call to stand up and fight for change. Change in Washington, D.C., as the next member of Congress representing Arkansas's 2nd Congressional District. In 2010, the voters of the 2nd District chose to have a common sense conservative represent them in Congress. We elected Tim Griffin to fight for us in D.C., and we should be grateful for his service not only in Congress, but his continued service in uniform. Winning this seat, the 2nd District of Arkansas allowed Nancy Pelosi to be removed from the Speaker's chair. This seat has been targeted by D.C. liberals. It would be a shame if a loss here returned her, Ms. Pelosi, back to the Speaker's chair. Our country is in trouble. Our debt is now $17 trillion. An amount that we can't really fathom. From the crippling effects of Dodd-Frank to the failure of TARP, it's clear that the centralized, top-down government of the Obama administration is not working. It's unfairly picking winners and losers. Obamacare has proven to be a disaster, and even just Monday, we learned that the president's promise to the American people about being able to keep your insurance was nothing more than a pipe dream he knew would never happen. It's time we said enough. It's time to return common sense to government. It's time to continue the common sense conservative representation we have in Congress, representation that says no to the president's failed agenda while fighting to fix the problems he has created. Fixing those problems won't be easy. In Washington, they kick the can down the road. In Washington, they run up the credit cards for bills that may never be paid. In Washington, problem solving takes a backseat to political gamesmanship. In Arkansas, when we disagree, we continue to work together. In Arkansas, we work to solve problems. And in Arkansas, we balance the budget. A stagnant economy, a growing mountain of debt, and a disastrous health care law are hurting the people of Arkansas today and threatening the futures of our children and grandchildren. The challenges we face in Arkansas and across the country are too serious for me to sit back and hope that someone else will fix them. That has never been my style. As a member of the legislature, I have taken the hard fights. I've taken on the hard fights, and I have led on the tough issues. Even when our Republican caucus was so small, we were just an afterthought. This last session, I was proud to carry an important pro-life bill in the House that is now law. I fought for the voter ID law in committee, and I fought on the floor of the House for that bill. When our governor vetoed their bills, those bills, and both the pro-life bills and the voter ID bill, I was proud to cast my vote each time to override that veto. I was proud to lead and to be part of the team that implemented unemployment insurance reforms that brought transparency to state government and initiated and passed the first ever ethics reform law to come out of the Arkansas legislature. We lowered taxes and we reduced the regulatory burden on business. We expanded educational choices for our children and we defended our Second Amendment rights. We won these victories as a team, fighting shoulder to shoulder to change Arkansas, over the strong objections and even the vetoes of our opponents. That's what we need in Washington, people willing to fight in the trenches for our common sense conservative values. As a member of the legislature, I have seen firsthand how Arkansas is constrained and limited more and more by the federal government in ways never intended by the Constitution or the founders. We have given up far too much of our power and we have given far too much of our money to Washington, D.C. Our states created our federal government and it's time we held Washington to the standards of Arkansas, not the other way around. Government in Washington needs to take a lesson from government in Arkansas, where instead of spending with no idea of how to pay the bill, we have to have the money first, just like the hardworking Arkansas families I represent. My name is Ann Clemmer. I've lived in Arkansas all my life. I've raised my family here, children who will raise their families here. I grew up in the Delta where opportunities for women were limited, but where opportunities for employment weren't great for anyone. I attended public school, my children attended public school, and our schools must be strong so we can prepare our children for supporting themselves in a global marketplace. We have to fight to build a climate so that there are jobs for those children to have. Our children shouldn't have to leave the state to prosper. I want my daughters and their families to have more opportunities to build their lives here in our home state. And it's for this reason that I enter the campaign for Second District Congress. Fighting this fight will not be easy. As I have stood shoulder to shoulder with you to make Arkansas into a true two-party state, I need you to stand with me and share your time, your treasure, or your talent to make sure our seat can be successfully defended. It's time to answer the call, it's time to stand up, and it's time to change DC by making sure our voice is heard. Thank you so much. God bless you all, God bless Arkansas, and God bless our country. Thank you. Here, there's a question. Well, tonight we have a kickoff, so you're welcome to tell me that too.
Explain the pivot from running against Jeremy to run for the Congress.
Well, I mean, certainly we didn't have any clue that this seat was going to become an open seat. When Congressman Griffin surprised us all last Monday, my first reaction, Jeremy, was call Jeremy, get him to change. I said that. I think I texted that to somebody. But the phone kept ringing. The phone really rang all week, and I would get to a place midweek where I'd say, somebody else can do that, not me. And the phone kept ringing, and really just heard from so many constituents. And it takes a lot of consideration. It takes a lot of time with your family because they're the ones that are going to give up. Had a weird late night Skype with my daughter in India, and the family has to be on board with you, and it takes a while to make that choice. And we are 9 days now since Congressman Griffin's announcement.
So the people that were calling you weren't people that he called.
I certainly try not to take advice from my opponents, but. I had lots of constituents and people that, frankly, people that want to see a woman run. Some of it was, we want to see a conservative woman run. It's time. I've had calls from the other side of the aisle saying, I can't come out for you. I'm a hard Democrat, but I'm so glad you're doing this. And that actually makes me happy. I had people tell me, Representative Mayberry said a year ago, I had a dream that you were my congressman. And he called me, I said, remember that dream, that conversation we had? I'm like, what conversation, Andy? He said, the one where I told you I had a dream, I've just had a lot of encouragement from my colleagues, from people who have always thought this was the direction I was going to go. And I've thought about it in the past. Of course, we don't anticipate an open seat. In Arkansas history, it's not common to see an open congressional seat. And it's a good time in my life. I'm not too young and I'm not too old. So I have no little children at home. I do have a young grandchild. Conrad Reynolds. I'm a lifelong educator. This is my 22nd year at UALR, and I think it was 8 years I was at community college before that. So that's basically 30 years in higher ed, where I teach government. And that's a difference. So I think that in many ways I have sort of joked about teaching government being my mission. Explaining government. We've got to have citizens aware. We need to improve civic education. And I often felt that was my mission. I never thought I would run for office. Of course, you have to understand, I grew up in the Delta where if you were Republican, you weren't ever going to win, it didn't seem. I told people last year, when we took the majorities, I said, this is for me, kind of like the fall of the Berlin Wall, things I thought I wasn't going to see in my lifetime. So political opportunities for elected office were something that was not on my horizon. When someone asked me to run, a respected leader, a citizen in Saline County, asked me to run for state house, that was also a pretty good time for me, and I said, okay, I think I will. I think I'll take what I've taught to the real world of government and politics, and I was successful. It does put a little burden on you, though, because the one that teaches it wants to also be able to be successful in an attempt to do it. So,
what do you make of the crowded race?
Has anyone else gotten in?
Not as yet.
Just three. Well, three's not too crowded.
Surely there'll be more, but what do you think, even though it's on both sides of this being a pretty hotly contested seat?
Well, I think that we will expect a vigorous primary, an exchange of ideas, an honest exchange of ideas, and I respect both of my opponents. But I also believe that, the voters will pick who they want to represent them on the Republican ballot in November. And that's how we get the best nominee. That's the process.
How would you handle impasses like the farm
Well, I would probably want to be on the side of advising my colleagues not to start a fight they don't see in a victorious end to. I think I shared with my class that I remember the prior government shutdown and I didn't think it ended all that well. And I was not extremely supportive of the shutdown, to say the least.
So now that you're in a Republican congressional primary, you voted for the private option?
Funding only. The funding mechanism, which was connected to the DHS budget. So I didn't vote for the enabling legislation. But I think there is a qualifiable difference. I mean, first of all, I respect the people that voted for the private option because I think we talk about government constraints on what we do in Arkansas. Obamacare is a major government constraint. We were given that law, and if we hadn't passed anything, we were going to have a pretty rotten law to live with. So my colleagues on both sides of the aisle worked to try to come up with a compromise. I also heard from the people of my district that said, you know, we don't want this. We don't want this. We don't want the private option. And so I voted no. But I understand the position of the people that supported the bill. Now, I think there's a difference when a majority votes for something. I don't think you want to be part of a minority that blocks the will of the majority. I mean, that's democracy. I mean, you have to believe in a process. You have to believe in using the rules of the game to work for the good of the people. And I did not want to thwart what a majority of my colleagues deemed appropriate.
Are you going to change your mind this coming fiscal
session? I don't know what's going to be presented for us this fiscal session. I'm not on the budget committee. But I think with everything that's gone on in D.C., my expectation is that there will be no immediate implementation of the private option because there are too many unknowns in D.C. I think the whole thing may be frozen. When last I talked to Senator Sanders, he was talking to me about some of the problems with the legislation and that there may very well be delays on implementing it. But there's a committee meeting downstairs, I think. I'm not on the committee. I'm trying my best to stay informed with the public health committee happenings.
How could you do that short of the special session?
Pardon?
How could you do that short of the special session?
Well, I mean, we have to fund. I mean, one of the things that we were saying one of the things that was being said during the
Delaying the funding
part of it. That's what I mean. Again, I'm not on the leadership of that committee, and I haven't. But that's what I'm getting wind that there will be delays. Now, I'm not trying to be make a newsmaker here. I assume that was what everyone that's what everyone knew. We've got to have something that works. I mean, if this is worse than what we've got, then we stop it. And that was one of the arguments during the regular session was, if this isn't working, we can always stop it in the fiscal session.
So that's yes or no?
Well, if it's not gonna work, then I'm gonna vote no. And if we see that insurance rates are better for Arkansans and we've got this thing looked like we rolled it out and it's working well and it's lowering insurance rates, then we might leave it alone. But if it's driving insurance costs up, not down, then we want to stop it before it gets further along.
You referred to TARP being a failure or something to that effect in your speech. Would you have voted against that?
Well, I don't think we want to pick winners and losers, and I think that hurt small banks in Arkansas. I don't know how many banks in Arkansas ended up taking TARP, but I mean, I think it's at some point here, we have to say, let's let the free market work. If you have made bad loans in your life, no one comes to bail the private business people. I mean, that's what you hear when you're out there on the street, you know, people saying, nobody's bailing me out. No one's offering to pick up my mortgage. because I bought too large of a house. I mean, some of this correction needs to be market correction. But, I mean, we're in a campaign that is 2 days old, you know, and it's easy. Let me say this. It's a whole lot easier to look backwards and talk about what didn't work. We have the benefit of hindsight, and that's probably particularly annoying to those people in Congress for me to say, well, you know, I would have done this or I would have done this. I wasn't there. We were in the middle of what appeared to be a financial meltdown and potentially about to get worse. So I probably shouldn't armchair quarterback what I would have done, but after the fact, we know that it picked winners and losers, and Washington, D.C. doesn't need to do that. Yeah, just do another question here. I've got another speaking engagement shortly. Anything else?
You pointed out that Obamacare was a kind of big failure. If you got to Washington, would you be for just all-out repealing or reformation of?
Well, if this information continues like we're hearing this week, I'd have to say repeal. You know, I think when we teach, when I teach government, we talk about the role of the states and we talk about the advantages of a federal system that allows a state to be a laboratory and experiment, you know, a place for experimentation and see what works and what doesn't work. Perhaps it would have been better if we had rolled something out on a much smaller scale and phased in those opportunities instead of trying to implement something nationwide. I mean, people are talking about delays and maybe that's the in-between position, but the other thing is people need to know what it is that we're in for. And if it's a doubling or tripling of their insurance rates, then we need to stop it before it gets further along. Thanks, everyone. I appreciate you so much. I should have called out all my colleagues here. Thank you so much for coming.